Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A new report out of Washington is claiming American officials did a great deal of helping with the cover-up of COVID's origins. Republican Congressman Daryl Issa on Newsmax.
All facts tell us that there's a very high chance that this was, in fact, accidentally released through carelessness or some other activity from the Wuhan facility and covered up starting in September of 2019 by both Chinese and American officials. That's really where the facts lead. And it's that last part, that American officials did a great deal of helping with the cover-up, that concerns us the most.
The federal eviction moratorium expired over the weekend, but if and when people could be evicted varies greatly depending on the laws where they live. If you live in a community that has no COVID-19 protection still in place, it could be a matter of days or weeks. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Title 42 will stay in place to keep persons who potentially pose a health risk out of the country. Dan Araki has more.
The Biden administration will keep a policy in place to turn away illegal migrants at the border due to the COVID pandemic. The extension of the Trump-era policy, known as Title 42, was announced by the Centers for Disease Control Monday, saying in a statement that the introduction of non-citizens, regardless of their country of origin, migrating through Canada and Mexico into the U.S. creates a serious danger of the introduction of COVID-19 into the United States. The Biden administration had previously indicated that they would end the policy over the summer. The American Civil Liberties Union also announced Monday that they would be filing a lawsuit in an attempt to force the administration to lift the policy.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo reportedly sat down for an 11-hour interview as the state of New York investigates allegations of sexual harassment against Cuomo from a large number of female aides. The interview, announced Monday, was actually conducted on July 17th, with participants prohibited from discussing it in public. USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Many employers across America are requiring their employees be vaccinated. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau explains.
With the rise of COVID infections due to the Delta variant, many businesses are rethinking their plans to return their workforces to the office. Last week, Google and Facebook became the first large Silicon Valley firms to require their employees to get vaccinated before coming back to the office. The Walt Disney Corporation has also said that all employees in the U.S. who are working on-site will have to get their shots. Dr. Celine Gounder says that vaccination remains the easiest way to control the pandemic in the workplace. The NYU epidemiologist tells CNBC that with enough vaccination, we could turn COVID into a much milder illness, like the flu.
This really comes down to whether your workforce is vaccinated. Vaccination is the way out of this pandemic. Some people have compared COVID to the flu. That is not a correct comparison, but we could turn COVID into something much more mild, like the flu, through vaccination. So if you're able to get your workforce vaccinated, I think it's a completely different calculation than if you're not.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The CDC warned on Monday against travel to Greece, Ireland, Iran, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and other locations because of a rising number of COVID-19 cases in those places. Some of the other locations being raised to CDC's Level 4 avoid travel include Libya, Kazakhstan, Andorra, Malta, and Isle of Man between England and Ireland. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Live. Of course, you knew it wasn't going to be easy, but you've got to decide what side you're on. Are you helping or hurting? That's what we live with in a free country, which is a good thing, because it is knowledge that expands us and empowers us. And this is what we're in the process of gaining. If we can, you know, maintain an environment for free speech. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Jeff Manaw is going to be joining us in just a moment. We're going to be talking about his new book that he co-authored with Nicola Twilley. And just a little background here from the inside cover jacket. It says, quarantine is our most powerful response to uncertainty. It means waiting to see if something hidden inside us will be revealed. It is also one of our most dangerous, operating through an assumption of guilt. In quarantine, we are considered infectious until proven safe. Until Proven Safe, the name of this new book, tracks the history and future of quarantines around the globe, chasing the story of emergency isolation through time and space, from crumbling Mediterranean lazarettos built to contain the Black Death to an experimental Ebola unit in London, from the hallway of the CDC to closed-door simulations where pharmaceutical execs and epidemiologists prepare for pandemics yet to come. Boy, there's so much in this book, and the research that was put into this is really, on so many levels, a great blessing and contribution to us, broadening our understanding of what's happening to us today. Jeff Manaw joins us now. Jeff, how are you? Oh, we're still waiting for him. We're waiting for a transfer in. Jeff is the author of the New York Times bestseller, by the way, A Burglar's Guide to the City, so that's why you might recall the name and why it sounds familiar, as well as the architecture and technology website building blog, which is BLDG, blog BLOG. He regularly writes for the New York Times Magazine, The Atlantic, New Yorker, Wired, and many other publications. Nicola Twilley is the co-host of the award-winning podcast Gastropod, which looks at food through the lens of science and history, and she's a frequent contributor to The New Yorker as well. But as we stand by for Jeff, but, you know, meanwhile, look at what do you make of what is going on with these restrictions and quarantine that's going on? Is it appropriate? Has there been an overreach by the government? And this is why we're looking forward to Jeff's perspective and all that he's written, Until Proven Safe, the history and future of quarantine. And, of course, right now we're living in the present of it. And as I often tell my kids, it is experience that defines preference. And so we have a grand opportunity here through this experience to decide, okay, how do we prefer, you know, to handle this? Because it's not only with what we're dealing with today. The big question is, okay, we know what today is for the most part, you know, as we try to bathe through and cipher through, you know, some of the propaganda and the misinformation that's been out there, which has been rather deleterious and frustrating, even for officials. The question, they wonder why America is hesitant, you know, to get involved with the vaccine. And but yet there's no sense of responsibility that I'm hearing from them that says, hey, look at maybe the misinformation, maybe the hyperbolic verbiage about COVID-19 and this Delta variant. Maybe this has all contributed to this, you know, as they continue to, you know, sparse and debate what it is that's blocking at least 30%, although now they're saying, according to the CDC, that we have achieved the goal that President Biden wanted to achieve last month, a month late. But nonetheless, supposedly by their numbers, that 70% of America has, in fact, been vaccinated, according to their numbers. Well, the attorney, Thomas Renz, takes exception to that number. He says it doesn't match up, you know, and you can't blame people for being doubtful, again, because of the mixed authority and the mixed messages and the narratives that go out there. It's like we're having a hard time, you know, deciding, okay, what is true here? You know, how are these numbers being presented? I mean, even like right now with the Delta variant, we're presented more in terms of percentages than we are actual numbers, which leaves us wanting and suspicious and puts us all in danger. See, this is why our founding fathers had held to having a free and independent press. And certainly where we are right now in America, we do not have a free and independent press, a press that should be exercising its highest journalistic professional standards to pursue the truth no matter where it leads, without prejudice, without political interest. We don't have that today in the mainstream media. And maybe it's also the reason why so many people are looking to social media as their source for information. But then you have to question, well, who's controlling the narrative during that channel, in that channel, in that pathway? And it's big tech. And what they're doing is they're marginalizing any thought, any idea outside of their approved Mockingbird plan. If it isn't consistent with what they've pre-approved, then, you know, we get a different story. Well, Jeff Manaud joins us now. And, Jeff, welcome to the show. I spent a good portion of this bragging about you. I hope that's okay.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Well, I appreciate the work that you and Nicola have put into this book, Until Proven Safe, The History and Future of Quarantine. It's, you know, you want to know where we're going, look back and see where we've been. And some of these things, I imagine, as you are unfolding this, going, we should know so much better because of history, and it seems that we're not.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the things that was so interesting about the, researching the book was just seeing exactly how many, you know, mistakes have been made with implementing quarantine throughout history, and the same kind of things that came up during COVID-19. You know, there are lessons just kind of hiding in plain sight that you can see in the historical record and people, you know, their accounts of what quarantine was like in different pandemics. And that is something that I think we should have taken on board.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, how much does the political aspect affect our purview and the decisions that we've made for quarantine?
I mean, I think politics gets in the way of quite a lot, especially these days. And it gets in the way, I think, in both directions. You know, it can be, it can make something like quarantine into a power that can be very tempting to use. You know, people can, you know, authorities, health authorities or government authorities can be tempted to implement quarantine, even if they don't necessarily need to use it medically. You know, quarantine is based in suspicion. It's not it's not the same as isolation. So if you know that somebody's infected, that's isolating them. But if you suspect that they might be dangerous, or if you just think that they might be infected, then that's when quarantine becomes a power that you might rely on. But at the same time, you know, in the opposite political direction, I think that sometimes quarantine is the appropriate thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that disease is real and the threat to the public safety and public health is a very real thing. And to resist quarantine simply because it's coming from the government, I think, is something that is a mistake as well, because it makes things more dangerous for you, for your family, for maybe friends or even members of your family who are immunocompromised and don't have, what they need to protect themselves from a certain virus. And so exactly. It works both ways, is what I'm saying.
We got to go to break right now. We've got more from Jeff on the other side. Stay with us about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to Novalift lithium-ion powered forklifts. With a Novalift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a 5-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. Novalift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NovaliftNA.com/save.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Jeff Minot joins us now. Until proven safe, the history and future of quarantine. He and Nicola Twilley give us this book, and Boy, I'll tell you, it is loaded with research, and I love when we go back in history, because I believe we can learn from history if we're open to do that, although there are some historians who say the sad part of history is that even though it's there for our learning, that we would not repeat the errors of years gone by. Somehow in our, I don't know, human arrogance, whatever you want to call it, Jeff, we keep duplicating this for whatever reason.
We do. I think one of the things that's so is specific to quarantine, but pandemics in general, is just that people really kind of want to sweep it under the rug. You know, it's the last thing they want to think about as soon as it's over. And we're starting to see this as, you know, everyone is hopeful that we're coming out of COVID-19. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the Delta variant. But we just want to move on. You know, we want to think about anything but this. And, you know, researching the history of quarantine, you see the same kind of things. You know, quarantine stations, but even the buildings themselves tend to just be torn down. Sometimes they were even burned down as a way to disinfect them when they were useful. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when the pandemic is over, everybody just sort of shifts their attention forward. And so I think that one thing we say in the book is that actually that's a very bad thing for moving ahead, even with COVID-19. You know, what we need to do is remember the things that went right in terms of quarantine and lockdown rules and the things that we've all just experienced. You know, it was frustrating for basically everybody. Mm-hmm. So what worked? What didn't work? What were we prepared for and what weren't we prepared for? You know, what can we make sure we might have on hand in the house or in our houses or apartments next time if there is another pandemic or another quarantine order? You know, these are all things that we really need to be thinking about now and not make the mistake of history, which is just to move on to the next thing and forget.
Yeah, I would hope that for all that we've invested here, you know, the lives, the quarantine experience, everything in its totality of COVID-19, that there would be some powerful takeaways. You know, I believe that early on we did some positive things as a nation. I think we upped our game on hygiene, the washing of hands, some social distancing, some, you know, things that maybe brought to mind for people that, you know, during a flu season, people were somewhat casual. It's like, oh, I got the flu. It's no big deal. I'll still go to a movie. I'm not going to worry about my fellow man so much. You know, they were very casual about it, right? And so maybe part of the early takeaway is that, wait a minute, you know, with something as dangerous as COVID-19, I have some social responsibility here. I can't go to work sick. I can't send my children to school sick like I would do before. Maybe there's been some positive things in that regard. But I think there's still so much more that we can draw out of this experience because, as you say, this is not the end of it. You know, there's going to be something next, no doubt, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think one of the things that even inspired us to write the book was that idea that, you know, we see the warnings everywhere. You know, there are diseases emerging. You know, we're going into rainforests and catching strange viruses. You know, factory farms are producing, you know, new respiratory viruses in pigs and chickens. And, you know, we see the evidence everywhere. And the idea that those diseases will hop over into humans, you know, whether it's a worker at a farm or whether it's somebody, you know, a forester or a logger somewhere in a rainforest, and then that person can hop on a plane or onto a ship and bring the virus into cities, you know, we're going to see that again. But I think, you know, what you're saying is exactly right, though, about personal responsibility and how we all kind of stepped up our game. You know, I think we're seeing people, you know, stepping back a little now, which is unfortunate, and there's a big spike in cases. But I think recognizing that the problem with diseases is that, you know, you may feel totally, you know, invulnerable or safe or that you're not sick at all, but you can still be spreading viruses. You can still be spreading the disease. You may not even know that you have it. Mm-hmm. So the problem with public health is that it makes us think differently about our role in society and about the kinds of impacts we might have on people, even without knowing it, and accepting the fact that, you know, maybe we're more powerful than we think or we have more influence than we think. And something like quarantine, something like staying at home if you don't necessarily feel well or maybe you've been told to stay home by public health authorities, it really is just a different kind of responsibility. It doesn't feel like you're doing anything. You know, and it can be very boring, but in fact, you're doing something that's very meaningful and very important for public health. And I think that is something that is quite, you know, one of the takeaways that would be great for people to, you know, try to take on board from the COVID experience.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point here, Jeff, and I'm glad you did, because that's the next level. If you look at these in levels in terms of information that comes in, this is why, you know, being honest and truthful about this war on this virus, we have to be so honest about it so that we can get to the next level. But if people, you know, stop believing you because you've fudged the numbers or you're trying to turn this into a political football, then you're doing as much damage as somebody who can be asymptomatic and could care less about their fellow man. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think misinformation and, you know, either exaggerating case numbers or for that, you know, up or for that matter, denying case numbers, I think can have a very huge and tragic effect. And I also think that that's yet another thing that we see throughout the history of quarantine is just lack of faith in leaders or lack of trust in the information. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that was interesting was actually all the way back in the origins of quarantine, which was 600 years ago in the Adriatic region. In the city of Dubrovnik, there are actually examples of people who, you know, when they were told to quarantine or when they realized that their neighbors were quarantining because of the Black Death, you know, very terrifying disease, they actually used that information instead to figure out which houses to burglarize. And so they would actually break into the houses, you know, that had specifically been marked as dangerous. And sometimes they'd steal things even from quarantine stations. And then the objects they would bring out, you know, would have the fleas that carried the Black Death. So my point there is simply that, you know, not trusting authorities or not believing them when they say, hey, don't go in here or, you know, leave this building alone, you know, or this is a very real disease and we need to, you know, do what we can to protect ourselves. You know, there's always going to be people that don't take that advice seriously or
no question or you know,
otherwise.
Yeah, and they're going to look at it and take advantage and utilize it in a diabolical means, just like you cited here. And those things are going to happen because, hey, we're human beings, and this is not to excuse it. I mean, evil is evil, and it abounds. But by and large, I mean, the opportunity here is still based on the truth. What do we do for the greater good? And I think, you know, that's what I read in your book here, Until Proven Safe, The History and Future of Quarantine, is your heart is purposeful in a way to where it's for the betterment of man. You're not pursuing a political agenda here to say, oh, this political side is better than the other. It's just, okay, here's the research. Read it. You decide. And we live in a unique form of government that really relies on the people. I mean, you know, this is a government up for by we the people. We're, you know, to your point, we're probably much more powerful than we realize because we are in the position of authority. Yes, we've assigned and, you know, some of that authority to institutions and our leaders. And we always hope and pray that they do so judiciously and in a righteous manner that benefits all mankind, particularly here, you know, the citizens of our country.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a good reading of the book and a generous one. So, yeah, thank you for that. But I think that, you know, this kind of preparation, you know, really doesn't need to be politicized or seen as, you know, one side, you know, versus the other. I think, you know, an example we like to use is think about, you know, a tornado shelter at an airport. You know, when you see that, you don't necessarily, it doesn't strike fear. It doesn't seem like, oh, that was there for political reasons. It just seems that it's there in case there's a tornado. Here's the safe room. This is where you can take your family. This is where you can protect yourself. And if you think about quarantine facilities kind of in the same way, it's just infrastructure to protect us. It's just a thing. It doesn't mean that you have to be scared of it. It's just part of it could be just part of the everyday landscape. It's not something that we need to necessarily react against or like I say, be scared of. And I think that if we can change our attitude toward quarantine, which is difficult, you know, quarantine in particular, you know, is a scary power. You know, it's based about an invisible thing like a disease, and it asks a lot of us. But if we can just treat it more like a protective infrastructure that we just engage with every day, like a tornado shelter, it becomes a little less terrifying.
Well, without a doubt, it needs to be honored, is what you're saying. I mean, that we understand how powerful it is, and when quarantine is misused and abused, then it gets ruined. I mean, we do not benefit from the effectiveness of a properly installed quarantine, do we?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it can go wrong in all sorts of ways, but yeah, being you know, over implemented or enforced when it doesn't need to be is one of the risks. You know, but so of course is the risk of not using it when we need it.
Jeff Manaw's book, Until Proven Safe, linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Thank you, Jeff.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A new report out of Washington is claiming American officials did a great deal of helping with the cover-up of COVID's origins. Republican Congressman Daryl Issa on Newsmax.
All facts tell us that there's a very high chance that this was, in fact, accidentally released through carelessness or some other activity from the Wuhan facility and covered up starting in September of 2019 by both Chinese and American officials. That's really where the facts lead. And it's that last part, that American officials did a great deal of helping with the cover-up, that concerns us the most.
The federal eviction moratorium expired over the weekend, but if and when people could be evicted varies greatly depending on the laws where they live. If you live in a community that has no COVID-19 protection still in place, it could be a matter of days or weeks. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com, that's where you want to go. Hey, all these great interviews. We've got these wonderful experts that are here sharing their insight, their advice, their counsel. And it's absolutely free to you, whether you listen to us live or later on. Podcasts are right there. Download at your will. Absolutely free, because we're givers. That's the way we roll. And we thank you for, you know, listening and for sharing it with your friends and neighbors. You know, these days, the civility of American civilians leaves much to be desired. I think you'd agree. The best-selling author speaker claims that we're headed towards the second civil war, as he explains in his new book, The Second Civil War, A Citizen's Guide to Healing Our Fractured Nation. Welcome, Peter Montoya, to the show. Peter, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Bill, thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you look over the horizon, I mean, and you don't have to go that far over the horizon to see a country divided. And when you have a country so divided, there are so many options and so many that are not very positive that are before us. Is that right?
I could agree with you. And so most people feel that a second civil war is going to be a hot war, which means you have people with guns and knives and tanks and things like that. But I'd argue we are already in a second civil war. But
yes.
A second civil war is largely a social civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single person I know is at some level alienated from a family member, a mm-hmm. friend, or a coworker over politics. And we as a country are paying for that price right now. We are already in that war.
Peter, how can we cancel the cancel culture? Because this is exacerbating the problem. There has to be that countering voice. I remember in the 60s, I was in Los Angeles, and this was after the Watts riots, right? And I will never forget this one interview that one of the anchors was having. Well, actually, it was a man in the street. There were an eyewitness report there on the street in downtown Los Angeles. And there were a bunch of people of color around the reporter. And, you know, they're all hooping and hollering and all excited about, you know, the city being in flames. And so the reporter just happened to ask one of the men standing there. He says, well, what are you going to do now? He says, well, I'm going to go home and go to bed. And the guy next to him says, you idiot, you burnt your house down. You know, and so,
yeah.
You know, this is kind of what we're exercising here is that, you know, common sense has left the building and everything is out the door. You know, the political discontent is happening in such a way that, you know, it's not even so much about Republicans and Democrats anymore. It's just ideologues. I mean, we're fighting, and it's almost like a religious war, so to speak, because, mm-hmm. you know, they believe justice. I mean, both sides, have equal, belief world views on how this country should be run.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the first chapters in my book is called Politics is the New Religion.
Mm.
And what that means is we've made politics into a war of good versus evil.
Mm.
So our country used to be Republicans and Democrats versus our common problems. And now it's just become a war of Republicans versus Democrats over who actually wins and gets to make the decisions. And we both know that democracies cannot survive without compromise. And here's the reason why we do that. I've been college educated. I've read hundreds, if not thousands, of books, listened to thousands of hours of podcasts, and I really like to think of myself as a very civilized individual. And the truth is, at the end of the day, I am nothing much more than a shaved down ape, which means that human beings, we are herd animals. We are incredibly tribalistic, and as much as we try to escape our inherent tribalism, we cannot. And so in our tribalism, what we're constantly doing is we're saying, are you, the other person, with me or against me?
Mm-hmm.
And even though we might agree on policy, if I think you're above the other tribe, I'm going to either shame you, I'm going to vilify you, I'm going to slur you, I'm going to use all sorts of words to attack you verbally, and or I'm going to expel you from my life. Like it's been happening, where we have family members who don't talk to each other anymore. We have people defriending each other. We have employees and employers who get fired because they don't hold the same political beliefs. And this cannot continue if we want to have a functional democracy. We can't control what they do. We can control what we do. And we can't keep doing this where we're shaming, canceling, expelling other people.
What's causing all this, Peter?
Well, there's a couple different things. So first of all, as you well know, there is, I'm going to make a massive generalization. There are two different reality sets, and there's probably a lot more than that, but there's at least two different reality sets. And every single model of leadership and problem solving starts with the same basic condition. We have to agree on a common set of facts.
Mm-hmm.
And the media has been divided enough that now there are at least two different large narratives out there in the ecosystem that are basically enculturating people or indoctrinating people into a worldview. So when they come together with other people who don't share their worldview, they basically in their minds are in a fight or flight mechanism where they're like, I've got to expel this person because they're not with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the heart of it.
Well, Peter, our founding fathers said that the Constitution was designed for a moral and righteous people. And we've allowed morality to leave the building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that as having any impact on this conflict of worldview that we're battling.
Yes. So the challenge is that morality, first of all, is subjective, and you probably disagree with me on that, but it's up to each person to decide what is moral. And there are some people, believe it or not, who think that murdering other people so they can make it to the afterlife faster is a moral thing. I think it's not, but that I can't control their moral reality. So for every single person, morality is very, very subjective. And the second thing is that we oftentimes are now assigning other people morality that they don't necessarily believe in. So oftentimes if we are a conservative and we see a liberal, we automatically assume that they stand for things that we disagree with. They might be anti-gun or pro-abortion or pro-censorship. We assume this whole belief package with other people. And the truth is, when you poll Americans on most issues, there's wide agreement. If we poll people on gun rights, even abortion, immigration, you know, poll people on issues, there's between 60 and 80% agreement on policy. And where we get into trouble is when we assume people are of the other tribe, other side,
yes.
And then we just start attacking our perception versus actually having a real dialogue about whether we agree on issues or not.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, that interferes with the ability for us to sit down and reason together. I mean, for me, the issue of morality is that, when you say morality is subjective, that's like saying truth is subjective. There's only one truth. I mean, and if you feel like it's a moving target and it's subjective and it's in the eye of the beholder, then we start. You know, now we've defeated our own argument in saying that it is, it's no longer valid. Just like morality, if we say there's moral consequences or there's a moral law, well, who's the moral lawgiver? You know, it's not Joe Biden. It's not Nancy Pelosi. It is somebody whose credentials are a lot higher than that. But, you know, when we live in a postmodern Christian society and understanding that our country was established based on Judeo-Christian principles, and if we abandon those principles, then the Constitution loses a bit of its veracity and its credence, doesn't it?
I understand your point of view, and I know why you feel that morality is objective. Unfortunately, unless everyone agrees upon that same moral objective, that's where we have challenges. So we have 330 million Americans, and my guess is there are close to 330 million different definitions of what moral objective is. And so I certainly agree with you. What you're trying to do is get everyone to agree on the same set of a moral reality, but unfortunately, we don't right now.
Well, no, you're right. We don't, and it is. And I can't convince. It's not my job. That's not my responsibility. This is an individual responsibility. But we need to have rules of engagement here, because if somebody is going to say, "Look, I want to have a conversation with you," but I don't agree with the rules of engagement, then I don't think the conversation is going to go very far. We've got more from Peter after this. Stay with us.
Diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets?
Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, we're back with you. Our guest, Peter Montoya, his brand new book, The Second Civil War, A Citizen's Guide to Healing Our Fractured Nation. We're going to link it at our website, of course, at BillMartinezShow.com. And Peter, the book available at all the usual places, right?
Yeah, Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay. I love Peter's heart. You know, he passionately advocates for unity and genuinely believes that all people and organizations have a special role in perpetuating the survival of our civilization, our species, and our planet. Best-selling author of The Brand Called You. I love that. I'm like you, Peter. Maybe that's why there's such positive chemistry between us, because I believe in the potential of humanity, how God has designed us, in such a way that I believe that that's what screams out. Is that desire to, be what you've been designed to be. When I was consulting businesses across the country, and even when I was training sales teams, I talked about round holes and square pegs. And it came from what a U.S. labor report had, concluded, and that is that less than 10% of people in the labor force then felt that they were fulfilled. So 90-plus percent were very frustrated. So they were round pegs and square holes is what I called. And when you've got those friction points that are going on with individuals, then that can be brain damaging and counterproductive in organizations. And, I used to train on that and encourage people to find, to find their brand, to find their place and their lane to operate in, to where they would be more fulfilled and happy. And that was, and if you were able to accomplish that, Peter, think about about it. I mean, that's less than 10% of the U.S. labor force. I mean, how wonderful that you could find yourself in that place. So I appreciate your heart in the the brand called you, because we all have that. The potential is there, but it's what we want to put into that to create that, to where we're happy and our kids are happy, our families are fulfilled, and hey, our communities are better off as a result. In our discussion, I wanted to further this conversation with you about what can we do, Peter? I mean, you've been a student of this. What can we do to bring all these disparate parts together? I mean, after all, we do have that slogan, right? E pluribus unum. From the many come one. Somehow the many, these disparate parts, have got to come down to one, to where we can agree on. And I think that, some of the challenge that we're having right now is just like even these symbols that would bring us together, like the flag and the way it's being treated right now, American exceptionalism. I mean, the great history that I believe that we have, and that even how that's being challenged with critical race theory and these other narratives that are coming out right now. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be talked about. It's like, okay, hey, let's put it out. Let's have that discussion, where we can really break this down and understand what our true history is all about, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes. So thank you for all of that. And so what's hard to understand is almost all of us most likely have been the victim of being shamed or shunned. Mm-hmm. All of us probably have been attacked for what we believe in and for maybe who we voted for. Most of us probably have lost family members or friends or social media friends or coworkers because of what we believe. And it's really, really painful. Right. So first of all, let me tell you, that is not right. That's not how we should behave. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we can't control what they do. Well, we can only control what we do. We are the people of personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And as a people of personal responsibility, we have to set the standard for how to behave. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is that we stop shaming and shunning anybody else for having a difference of opinion with us. So they choose to be of a different party, of a different religion, of a different opinion on something. We got to make sure we set the standard of not doing what they do to us to them. That we don't shame, slur, vilify, attack. That would be first. I'll give you a second step, but I'll let you chime in first.
Well, no, I think that's a good foundational step. I mean, these are rules of engagement, right? So let's eliminate those things that get in the way of a successful conversation, right? Because, this is why of all the amendments that we could have to our Constitution, the First Amendment, it is... that we would have this secure idea of a free, free speech and a free press, right? So that is vital. I mean, why would our founding fathers make that the most important thing?
Yeah, freedom of speech is critically important. And obviously the derivatives of that, which is freedom of consciousness, freedom of belief, freedom of religion, all those are actually packed into freedom of speech, and they are vitally important. So the next thing I'm going to say is this, and this is a word of advice, not a directive. So if you want to use your freedom of speech to attack another person or another party, it is your right. However, I think it's a bad idea. When we attack other people or other parties and we vilify them, we demean them, we degrade them, and even some forms of satire, all we're really doing is further distancing us from them. We're creating them as an other person or an other group. And the second thing it does is it further calcifies them into maybe what is a really wrong-headed position. So my second recommendation, and once again, you have the right to attack whoever you want to, but my suggestion is that a rule of engagement is we attack ideas and stop vilifying, demeaning, degrading people or groups.
And I think you bring up a good point here, is idea is one thing, the people is another. And, in this particular radio show, we welcome disparate ideas and thoughts because that's important. I mean, we're better when we have this variance of ideas. I mean, this is what developed this great country. It's not like one person sat there with a blank sheet of paper and said, hey, we're going to create this great American idea. I mean, there wasn't 100% agreement. There was lots of debate over just about every word that was, you know, that was written down in the Constitution. So that's not that that should not stop. I mean, we need to have that. As Jordan Peterson says, you know, the danger of being so ideological is that you can be so ideologically fixed that you render yourself stupid. And I think at the end of the day, none of us want to be stupid. We want to be able to be enlarged and encouraged. Now, if thoughts are out there and ideas are out there, and they should be challenged. They should be able to be discussed because we'll be better as a result. But if we're going to be hard-lined about it, well, then, you know, you're not going to have, you know, you're going to end up siloing yourself and you just hang around people, you know, there in your various organizations that all agree with you. And then, you know, as the old saying in the business culture would go, if, you know, if you have two people agreeing on the same thing all the time, one of you is redundant and unnecessary. And so, you know, don't be unnecessary. Anyway, go ahead with your next one.
That's what groupthink is, and so we really do want to avoid groupthink. I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your next point of interaction.
The next thing I would say is this, is that we really, the reason that we get in political conversations by and large, so, you know, you go out to lunch or a dinner with a friend you haven't seen for a while, and usually you kind of get to know each other again, and you say what's going on with you, and eventually the conversation will lead on to something like this, you know, hey, what do you think about? And then most people will raise a news story, which is kind of the news du jour. What do you think about this person being censured, or the riots over here, or the election? And those seem to be, on the surface of it, a company. Invitation for a conversation about policy, and it's really not. All we're really doing with those things is we're trying to basically say, are you in my tribe or not?
Exactly.
Like I said, we are very tribalistic creatures, and that conversation about whether you're in my tribe or not is not really helpful.
Right.
So when you're
let me interrupt you and interject this. This is why a good question is, why do you ask?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, why do you ask? Or what's important about that issue for you? And so rather than two people just trading sound bites, which is by and large what happens, you know,
yes, exactly.
Anti-death tax, or I'm for the estate tax, and you, or, you know, I think the riots were terrible, or I think the BLM had a point. And we kind of get into these sound points, and all we're doing is regurgitating what we heard on our given news channel. And then before we know, we're locked for them because we think they're the persons of the other tribe, and they're immoral. It's not that they're immoral. It's not that they have a different moral set. It's that they have a different tribal identifier. And so if we can have much more meaningful conversations, getting to know people and asking questions about their values rather than what they think about the news du jour.
Why can't we be in the American tribe?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, and this is what your book's all about. It's unity, okay? And if we're Americans first, I mean, this is what I hated about the hyphenation. I'm sure you had to deal with it. You know, I didn't grow up with a hyphenation of Mexican-American. It wasn't until I was in college all of a sudden that started to come out. And I go, who brought up that stinking hyphenation thing? You know, and we knew instinctively it was about divisiveness. And sure enough, I mean, over the years, it's been accepted. I mean, to such a degree. I remember I called my mother after the Trayvon Martin shooting. And, you know, and they had said that the shooter was a white Mexican. And I called my mother and I said, Mom, when did white Mexicans come in? You know, she laughed. She just, you know, my mother was a real common sense kind of woman, you know, as Hispanic women can be. I always tell people, you know, that when you're young and you say things that, you know, you talk about having a free forum, right, in a family. And when you're in a Hispanic family and you say something goofy, your mom, first of all, looks at you and gives you what we call the ojo, right? Give you the eye. And if you didn't respond to the ojo, which was, hey, you're treading on thin ice here, then if she was... you know, the next thing she would do is reach down and grab her chancla, her house slipper, and fling it at you to really let you know that you were off. And God forbid that she was making tortillas, because she was making tortillas. What was in her hand was a rolling pin. And sometimes, you know, she didn't reach for the chancla. She just let the rolling pin fly in your direction. and maybe that's
my grandmother, the mother of my father. I knew her well, and I had great affection for her. She was an incredibly strong-willed woman.
I guess that's what we need, Peter Montoya. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Take care.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination.